like we forgot to mention, it's my turn to preach this evening, so that's all right. It's all good. It's all good. So this evening, like I said, it's good to be with you this evening, and good to be able to bring the message. This evening, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. You'll just turn there. We're going to talk about the golden calf then and now. The golden calf then and now. Exodus chapter 32. We'll look at verses 1 through 4. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about and said, and Aaron said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this, Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. Verse 4, he took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Well, the Israelites of old served as examples to the church today. You know, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." You know, this is history. This is history. And what do we know about history? Well, we know that history, it repeats itself. So we know that. Sometimes, even when we make mistakes, do we really learn from them? Do we learn from them? Or are they repeated? You know, oftentimes the Israelites made sinful mistakes that cost them dearly. The first thing this evening, one of those mistakes was the fashioning of a golden calf for worship. You know, they were not patient in waiting on Moses. They were not patient. They were not patient on Moses to come down and talk to them. Are we impatient just like the Israelites? I want us to think about that. Are we just like they are, or just like they were? Most of us do not like to wait for an answer. We don't like to wait at all. We want to know right now. We're that kind of people, you know. And they were just like that. They wanted something done now. But we must learn to be patient and wait. We must learn to be patient and wait and not be so eager to get an answer sometimes. Next thing, this behavior rightly angered Moses and the Lord. And let's look at, we're going to look at a few verses in Exodus 32 there. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 8. "They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" Verse 9, you know, verse 9, if you read there, he called them a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked people. And now verse 10. Verse 10, now then let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation. So God was very angry here with Israel. He is very angry. Now, we're talking about God's anger. Let's talk about Moses' anger. In verse 19, we'll read verses 19 and 20. "It came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain." Verse 20, "He took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire and ground it into powder." or ground it to powder, and scattered it over the surface of the water, and made the sons of Israel drink it. That could not have been very good water. Like I said, the next thing, you know, I want to mention here is, unfortunately, there are some today who have decided that a golden calf is better to them than the Lord. let's talk about that a second. During their waiting for Moses, the Israelites, like I said, they grew impatient and they were restless, as we learn in Exodus 32 verses 1 through 6 there. These were God's people. These were God's people. You would have thought that they had known better and trusted in their waiting on Moses and waiting on God. But often we are probably just like they were and try to fix things our way or think our way is better. Israel had witnessed many miracles and seen the power of God, but they still were not committed. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. Exodus 20, verses 18 through 31. Or 18 through 21, sorry. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and then mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off. Verse 19, and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Well, the fear they had was a wrong kind of fear. They feared him so much that they didn't even want to get near him. They didn't want to get near to God at all. They stood far off. And how close are you with God and your relationship to God? How close are you? And I think that's just a healthy question for us all. How close are you with God? Are you far off from God? Or are you okay just being just close enough? Or would you like to follow Moses, especially knowing God is on your side in that sense? You know, Moses went to the thick cloud there and went to God. And I think that's as close as we'd like to be, that close. Today, the Church of Christ has evidence of God and his blessings. But yet some are not content to serve and worship as God has commanded. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You know, we must make sure that we do not become impatient while we wait for Jesus. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Galatians 1, 6 through 10. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. You know, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And as I was doing this lesson, I couldn't help but think of when we were in preaching school. Bob Stapleton was one of our teachers there, and he always said, preaching is serious. It's as serious as a heart attack. And like I said, he even told us our very first day, if we were not serious in what we were doing, he would help us pack our bags. Because it is serious. It's a serious matter, and we take it as so. You know, so, and we as preachers, we have to preach on the whole counsel, and some of it's but we have to speak on those things. But God doesn't sugarcoat things. He doesn't sugarcoat things, and he told us what we need to know and how we have to do things. We must preach the whole counsel. We should not seek golden calves to serve. You know, that comes in many forms. That comes in many forms, things that pull us away from God. We should learn patience. The next thing, spiritual leadership is desperately needed. Spiritual leadership is desperately needed. In Exodus 32, you know, verses 2 and 3 there, we read, you know, Aaron allowed the Israelites to influence him. And away from his faithfulness, he gave them what they wanted and jumped right in with them. He gave them what they wanted. He made the golden calf. You know, when all you hear is complaints, sometimes you just give in to them because that's what they want. So you give in to them so they won't complain. Well, problem with that thinking is, they will still complain. They're still going to complain. And they're just never satisfied. Never satisfied. Always want something bigger and better. And the bigger and better isn't always the best. It's always better to stick to God's way and not man's. This did nothing to help Israel to be strong. It did nothing. Aaron just gave in to what they wanted. It done nothing to help Israel. If anything, it made things worse. Like I said, God was burned with anger. And then when Moses came down, so was he. They were both angry. Verse 22, you know, the people, it says there in verse 22 of Exodus 32, you know the people, and this is what Aaron said, you know the people, that they are set on evil. He blamed the people. But he made the choice to give in to them. So he went right with them. Like I said, he blamed the people, but he gave in as well. You know, today, elderships have allowed members of the church to influence them away from faithfulness. And then not so much here, but there are elders that have done that. Elders must be constantly on alert and aware. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Verse 29. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Next thing, Israelites had an intercessor to plead. They had an intercessor to plead their case, and the Church of Christ does as well. You know, God was ready to destroy the Israelites. He was ready to destroy them, but Moses interceded on their behalf. Moses did that in verses 11 through 14 in Exodus 32. God knew what they had done. God knew it. But God is patient. He's patient with them here, as well as being patient. He's patient with us. The Church of Christ should be grateful that we have an intercessor. We have an intercessor as well, Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Also in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, 1 John 2 and verse 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And then Hebrews 4 and verse 15, Hebrews 4 and 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And the last verse I want to close out with this evening, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, the Church of Christ should rightfully use the Old Testament to learn from Israel's mistakes. And then the second thing this evening, we do not need golden calves. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. The lesson is yours tonight. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism. We just had a couple of young ladies last week that put Christ on in their life and was baptized. And we're just so thankful for that. And the same could be done tonight for you. If you've struggled in your daily walk as a Christian, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.